Hello and welcome to this episode of the ISCN podcast, the podcast by the International Smart Cities Network. Today we talk about a hot topic in smart cities, data spaces. Data spaces is the new kid in town when it comes to data management, and particularly when we are talking about sovereign data exchange between public administrations and other third parties. These parties might include, for example, a utility company or a research company, private entities, as well as citizens. So we're talking to Sophie Messaroche, project coordinator of the European flagship project Data Spaces for Smart and Sustainable Cities and Communities, to find out what exactly data spaces are, what this new concept means for public administrations, and what's actually needed so that they can be realized. So let's get started with this episode of the International Smart Cities Network podcast. And I'm here today with Sophie Messaroche. And I'm quite happy that we are here together in this podcast today, Sophie, because we're going to talk about data spaces, and specifically data spaces for smart cities and communities. Before we dive right into it, Sophie, why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners? Who are you? What do you do? Who are you working for?
Thank you, Leah, and thank you for having me on your podcast. I'm also very excited to be here and also to share all our work with you. I think we have done quite some exciting things on our end. So as you already mentioned, I'm Sophie and I work for Open and AGI Smart Cities, and I'm the project manager there for the initiative called Data Spaces for Smart and Sustainable Cities and Communities. You may have come across the acronym DS4SSCC. This is also what how you can find us on LinkedIn and how you can find our website. So there I oversee the work that we do towards creating the blueprint of this data space, which pertains to governance building blocks, technical building blocks, and the roadmap, as well as all the communication work. And I am also a researcher at the Smith IMEC, and there I'm a social scientist. I research trust in data sharing for the purpose of data spaces.
All right, so you're basically knee deep into the topic of data spaces and data sharing, which is why we're talking. And you already mentioned the project, which I definitely want to dive a bit more into it a bit later on. But first of all, my question to you is, because the topic of data spaces is floating around for about 2 to 3 years, I would say. And it's becoming more popular in the domain of smart cities, if you want to call it like that. So my first question is actually towards setting the baseline. What is a data space?
Well, I think it's a very good thing that we start with this question, because in my experience, I can also just mirror what you just said, that it is a very new concept, and even the people who work in it or around it are not necessarily clear on the definition. So we are definitely right now in a time where we are defining what a data space is, not only with words, but also with actions. I think it would be useful in this case to refer to the starter kit of the Data Space Support Center for anyone who has questions about data spaces and would like to dive more into it, what the data space consists of. They have also provided a definition for a data space, and there they say a data space is a decentralized, governed, and standard-based structure which allows trustworthy data sharing between the data space stakeholders on a voluntary basis. And data spaces can be purpose or sector specific, or they can be cross-sectoral. I think this is still quite high level. So essentially the idea is that we have data in different formats, shapes, sizes, languages from a variety of sources. So it's quite chaotic because there's just a vast amount of data out there. So data spaces are there to organize this data and to make this data accessible for the use of data-driven applications like local digital twins. But the main point is that data becomes accessible across domains and sectors. And this is the very interesting element of this, because this is where, when we talk about data sharing, we find the most associated risks or challenges that the purpose of the data, the use of the data, will become problematic when you share data, because simply you just lose control over your data. And data spaces are here to address some of these risks. And why are data spaces relevant for cities? Well, because it is a way for them to get access to data so that they can use them for specific use cases, like, for example, traffic management. It is also resource efficient in terms of time or finances, because simply you just don't have to access the same data over and over again, because it's already there in the right shape and format. And you know, you also don't have to spend time on that, and you can actually put these resources to use for different business purposes or different use cases, so you can move ahead. So this can speed up things. So if you want to put this on more abstract terms or more appealing terms, data spaces can then create business models centered around data, which in turn will strengthen the local economy simply.
So basically what I also understand from that is you mentioned before that data spaces can be, on the one hand, sector specific, like focusing on energy, on mobility, on water, for example, and whatever else there might be, industry maybe also. So then there is one for whole cities, basically, and whole communities, which I understand is then more of a cross-sectoral approach, right? For me, it would be interesting to understand a bit better how cities or city governments, for example, can benefit from this approach, and how they can also get started with this, because it seems to be quite complex, isn't it?
Well, indeed, I think the main challenge is always in the public sphere. It just simply functions differently from the private sector. So there are different funds and resources and knowledge available. How can they get started? Well, firstly, they can get in touch with us. We are here to serve the community and to give away any kind of knowledge that we gathered. Other than that, I would definitely think that they should think about the use cases they would like to tackle. So that's something that we cannot from the outside help for a specific government, a municipality, or any kind of authority. We cannot tell them where they can, what's the use case. I mean, we can learn from our experiences, but they know their specific problems. So that's something where they can already work on.
So a public authority basically needs to define the goal where it wants to go with sort of the data that they need, that they have, the stakeholders that are involved or that they want to invite to such a data space as well, right? So they need to figure out, what is the goal? What do I want to achieve as a public administration with that sort of infrastructure?
Indeed. Definitely, this would be the priority to think about this. And I think in turn, the benefit is always what I learned from my research, for example, and why I personally believe in the value of data-driven innovations in the public sphere, is because it can create, it's one thing that's very efficient, because humanly it's impossible to process all the data out there. So you can be a domain expert, but you cannot possibly oversee all the data. So if you have something that processes all the data for you and you put it together with the expert knowledge, with the domain knowledge, well, that can create really solid solutions for the city. And on the other hand, it can also create transparency, because unfortunately, in a lot of places today, we don't have transparency when it comes to decision making. Why did they decide to renovate this bridge? Why did they decide to close the street? Why did they decide to do this and that? Well, if we have some sort of, and they don't even need to declare it necessarily right now, or not in the manner that we could grasp it. But even me, someone who is not a domain expert, if they show me like all the data, like, look, the data says this, then I would believe it, obviously, because there is some grounds to their decision.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. And maybe we take a little step back, because I think we're already diving sort of into the conversation of where things can go and what the use of data can also bring citizens on the one hand, but also, of course, the administration on the other hand. I want to go a step back towards the project that you mentioned in the beginning. You were part of the project called, I'll repeat it again because it's a very long name and I think it has to be remembered definitely quite nicely. It's called Data Spaces for Smart and Sustainable Cities and Communities. It's one of the European flagship projects around data spaces. And you already mentioned a couple of aspects that you're doing with that project. So can you just explain a bit more in detail, what is the specific goal of this European flagship project?
Well, as the name has given it away already, the goal is to create the data space blueprint for smart communities. So this means that we are right now in the preparatory action, which is 12 months, where we create the blueprint of this data space. What is the actual goal? Well, the goal is to enable access to data. This, as I already mentioned, should greatly contribute to local economy and innovation. And I think it could also validate existing solutions as well as create new solutions. And not only, I wouldn't necessarily only talk about economy, but also societal challenges, for example, the climate change that we are always talking about. As to also promote standards and harmonization through the European market when we talk about data spaces, the project raises security levels for both users and providers, as well as it boosts competitiveness. So it means that, again, turning back to my original point, we are also addressing things or the bottlenecks of data sharing in general. Another objective is to contribute to the building of an ecosystem here. So, which I also mentioned, that we are also part of the Data Space Support Center that acts as a central point of data spaces initiatives. Their work or their objective is to help us align with other initiatives like the Green Deal data space or the mobility data space, energy data space, or data space for skills. So this is also a good occasion to mention all these other data spaces because they are also doing a wonderful job. If you want to dive more concretely into what we are doing right now, well, we are working towards defining common roles and responsibilities for multi-stakeholders, data governance, and establish standardized access rights and management, determine conditions for access, sharing, processing, and using data within data ecosystems, establish data quality assurance guidelines. This is to safeguard data quality and security again. And we do all this while also considering the European legislations we have.
This sounds actually quite a lot for 12 months, as you just described. Actually, what were the biggest challenges that you ran into so far in creating this blueprint?
I think the biggest challenge would be to get everything up and running. So luckily, we have a really, really good team. So I think this is also a great moment to just like refer to the partners here. So we work together with EuroCities, European Network of Living Labs, Fiveware, Austrian Institute of Technology, and the Slovenian Commerce of Chambers. And all of these, I think the names already give it away, that the partners represent cities, regions, communities, the industry, SMEs from the east to the west of Europe to the south to the north of Europe. So I think the idea here was really nice that we need to have partners working on this who can bring the perspective of a diverse set of stakeholders into the project. But 12 months is a very, very short time to bring all of this together. So I think this would be the challenge that aligning, coordinating, because obviously everyone has other projects as well. So it's the time pressure, the challenge.
And when we talk specifically about the data spaces, what is, in your opinion, the main thing at the moment that is needed to make a data space in that very complex domain of smart cities? It's now, I called it domain, actually. We decided on not calling it a domain earlier. But what is the most complex issue that you're facing in sort of creating data spaces for smart cities and communities? Have you already been able to identify like one or two key challenges for the public authorities in this case?
The usual problem is always access to data. So to make sure that the data is there, mm-hmm. because when we think about like what's the ingredient for a data space, what data? So we need to make sure that we have the data available. But for creating this kind of data space, we need the support of both the demand and the supply side. So not only the regions and the cities, but also mm-hmm. the industry. So I would say these two are the ones to create a dialogue.
That's quite interesting because also from my experience, I oftentimes see that there's the dialogue needs to happen, and there's some sort of sometimes, not always, this hesitancy towards each other from both sides, from the industry and from the public side on the one hand. So this is quite interesting that this also seems, in the case of data spaces, one of the bigger challenges. When we talk about involving different stakeholders, you just mentioned it, the different partners that you have in your project, what is the role of national governance also within the EU in making data spaces for smart cities and communities actually successful? Is there a role for national governments as well?
I think definitely there is. I think the most important part is that the way, again, I personally see them is that they, in this instance, act as a bridge between European powers or European entities and the cities and regions, which means that they can actually direct the funds because they know their regions better than, for example, the European entities would, because I wouldn't judge anyone for not knowing the 12 countries, little whatever, regions, because I also am not familiar with the entire of Europe, even though I would like to be. But this is why you need like these entities that act as a bridge. So funds, the redirect funds, European funds, to help cities make use of data. Then again, national governments also have access to data, so they could provide access to data, and they should also contribute or supervise the harmonization efforts across cities and regions. So because again, everyone has their own tasks, like if my goal is to help my own region and there is another region that's goal is to help their own regions, the national entities' responsibilities to know what they are working on and bring them together when needed. So similarly, for example, you could view this, it may be a silly metaphor comparison, but the Data Space Support Center is the overarching bridge that we have across data support centers, and we all have our specific goals that we are developing the data spaces for, but they are there, or their role is there to see when we overlap, when we can help each other, or at least this is what they aim to do.
Yeah. So ideally, if I understand that correctly, is also that national governments should be sort of the glue between the different initiatives and also play this coordinating role when it comes to managing all the data spaces that are going to pop up at some point, I assume.
Indeed, indeed.
Yeah. And at the moment, so you mentioned there's a lot going on currently in the project Data Spaces for Smart and Sustainable Cities and Communities. Is there any way for cities to get involved directly and support you in what you're doing?
Of course, of course. Maybe I should just emphasize it again, just for everyone, that although I did mention these that we work together with partners, but this initiative is essentially by cities and regions for cities and regions. So you are welcome to visit our website to learn more. And as I said, also the LinkedIn to see like where we are at if you want to follow us more closely. But a concrete way to get involved is to join the stakeholder forum. So when I say that it's by cities and regions and communities, for cities and regions and communities, this is the way we do it. That we have a stakeholder forum where we have stakeholders from both the industry and demand side. And we are in constant dialogue with the stakeholder forum to iterate upon our work. So we ask for input regarding the governance of the data space, the technical building blocks of the data space, and the roadmap of for deploying a data space as well. So what it actually means that stakeholders are regularly invited to workshops or to interviews. And right now, for example, we have a survey running, which will close on the 14th of February. You're more than invited, anyone, to contribute. We would like to hear from you. And all this interaction is actually the foundation of our work. So we build heavily on the work of on our work with the stakeholders.
Fantastic. So basically for cities, regional representatives, ideally they go to your website, to your LinkedIn, Data Spaces for Smart Cities and Smart and Sustainable Cities and Communities. I'm sorry. I usually always get confused somewhere in between. So basically visit the LinkedIn page, visit the website, check out what's the latest status. Answer your surveys, always helpful. To also define, I assume, the requirements, right, for these sort of data spaces. So there are, you mentioned multiple sort of touch points where city and regional representatives can get in touch. It's your project, it's the Data Spaces Support Center, but also, and you mentioned it just now again, it's a project for and by cities and regions. There are the networks. So there is the network that you're working for, Open and Agile Smart Cities, there's Euro Cities, and there's also the European Network of Living Labs. And I assume also getting active within these fora will also translate into sort of feeding into these developments of European level. Is that right?
Indeed. For example, I think the most important movement to mention here would be the Living in EU movement, which if you haven't joined yet, you should as a city or a region, because actually the data space is a CSA of the Living in EU movement. So the idea is that the Living in EU movement is a platform to provide and share solutions for across cities, for cities, and the data space became one of these projects of the Living in EU movement. So you can, for example, get involved there as well. But that's why also we have all the partners, because we can't just expect, and I wouldn't expect it from anyone, that it would take a lot of work to know about all these initiatives that are out there. So that's why it's there are these partner that we work together with partners who have access and can notify the stakeholders mm-hmm. for whom it would be interesting to contribute or collaborate with.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So we mainly talk about Europe now at this stage, talking about European cities and regions, talking about European national governments as well. Is there any way also for non-European cities to get involved? Is that also sort of a point of the work that you're doing? Are you looking at that as well?
So As the this specific project is funded by the Digital Europe program. It is not really open to non-European countries, which means that because right now, as I mentioned, we are at the preparatory phase, which will be followed by the deployment phase, which is not necessarily be it will not necessarily be taken care of by us. But it means that during the deployment action, this is when it becomes especially interesting for cities and regions because they can apply to be a site of piloting. And for example, a non-European country cannot become a pilot there. But we are part of our work is to consult with experts, to do desk research, and there we are not limited to European input. However, because we are our aim is to embed this initiative in a European framework and align with European legislations, our main focus will be the European landscape.
All right, that's pretty clear, but it's also good to hear that you're looking at sort of what's happening around the world. What are the next steps for the project now? You're already quite advanced, and when will we see the next results sort of coming out of the project?
I mean, we are now 5 months into the project, so I wouldn't necessarily say we are advanced at this stage, but at least like I would say like we are at the point where we know exactly what we are doing and how that should be done. I mean, what we are doing, we knew it from the beginning, but to have it more concretely, when you will see concrete results, well, for example, the survey results will be published on our website, which I think, you know, there we ask about what are the technical building blocks that you may already be using or you're familiar with, or what are the governance aspects that people are suggesting. So we are going to analyze it and publish that. Then the concrete deliverables that we have that will actually be available is, for example, we are going to have a catalog of specifications, reference architecture, cookbook, the roadmap itself. So there will be a lot that will be available and open for everyone.
That's really fantastic.
Maybe just to add that we are not necessarily adding too much new things to the conversation, because I'm sure that it's been mentioned a lot, and probably also in your podcast, that a lot of the stuff has already been done. So we are not here to you know, create something super new out of the blue, because as I said, we only have 12 months. So what we need to do is to actually understand what's already out there and what's already working and what is it that fits the problems. So we are not here to reinvent the wheel, basically.
So you're basically bringing together all the bits and pieces that are out there, technically, organizational, processual, all these aspects, so that there will be guidance for the stakeholders of such a data space then to basically start building it, which leads me to my last question of this podcast. When will we see the first data spaces popping up for smart cities and communities? What's your guess?
I mean, the pilots are supposed to come in a couple of years, I would say 2 years.
All right, let's see. We'll check in 2 years and see where we are with the data spaces. I hope really that this concept will take off with all the tools that we already have at hand. And I'm sure that the project that you're currently managing, Data Spaces for Smart and Sustainable Cities and Communities, will certainly contribute to this development quite a lot. And I can only invite everyone who's listening in to follow the project, to follow what's happening, and to make use of all the information that will be gathered, assembled, and provided in different forms and formats. Thanks a lot, Sophie, for joining this podcast. It was really a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Leah. Thank you for having me. It was great to discuss.
So what we've learned today is that there's still a lot in the making when it comes to data spaces, and particularly when it comes to data spaces for smart cities. but everyone can actually still contribute in shaping them. If you're interested to learn more, check out the Data Spaces Support Center that Sophie mentioned, or visit Sophie's project on LinkedIn. We'll make sure to closely follow the topic with the International Smart Cities Network. In the next episode, we're shifting gears from concept to actual real-world project. We're visiting Milo Jansen in Amsterdam, the Dutch capital, to talk about how the city uses data and artificial intelligence in their services and what they've learned so far. See you there.